You're listening to the STC Foundations podcast. This year we're looking at the four Gospels, an opportunity on a Monday to Friday to worship and pray as we reflect on a thought from the Bible.
Welcome to Friday's podcast. Our reading today is Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 to 46, but today I'm going to focus on verse 42. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvellous in our eyes. Before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to thank you for listening. And just to say that next week, Casey Strine, who's a member of our team, will continue our journey through Matthew's Gospel. So a thought for the day. I recently built a log shed out of old pallets. Now, not just any old log shed, but I put a green roof on it, inspired by a trip to Norway. Did a little bit of research, and very quickly learned that the log shed would need to have extra strength to hold the roof. A green roof is heavier than a normal roof because it contains soil and grass and other bits and pieces. So I thought a lot about the structure and whether the roof would bear the weight. And once we'd finished it, I was feeling quite pleased with myself. Kids painted it, filled it with logs, and thought, yeah, it's a job well done. Over the next few days, though, I just began to notice that the log shed was just beginning to tilt backwards. I checked every day, and sure enough, it seemed to me that the log shed was becoming a little bit like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, except, of course, less grand. It was sinking into the ground. And then it struck me that I'd focused so much on making it strong enough to hold the weight of the roof. I hadn't really thought a huge amount about the foundations. That was a kind of afterthought. So to fix it, I got a car jack, lifted it up just enough to put some very chunky bricks taken from an old electric storage heater to take the weight of the log shed and stop the thing slipping into the ground. The bricks that I'd used were inadequate. Foundations are important. House foundations, it turns out, log shed foundations, marriage, family, all kinds of stuff. So today I'm asking myself the question I'd like us to think about foundations. Because Jesus is referring to himself as the stone, sometimes known as the cornerstone, the foundational stone. There are a number of references throughout the Bible to cornerstone, and Jesus here is quoting Psalm 118 verse 22, which describes a situation where some builders are looking for a suitable stone known as the cornerstone. And some debate whether it means the kind of cornerstone of a building or whether it's the keystone, the stone at the top of an arch. Whatever it is, the principle is still the same. It's the most important stone. It's the one that takes or holds the weight. Essentially, Jesus is saying, I'm the cornerstone. I'm the one that holds it together. I'm the centre of it all. In fact, the whole parable, of which I read a small part, is a very, very strong challenge to those people who have rejected Jesus. He's talking to Israel, to the Jewish leaders. He's saying, you're like the builders that rejected the cornerstone. He's not mincing his words at all. And he's talking judgment. And he's beginning to talk about people falling on the stone or the stone falling on them. He's referring to a judgment that will come on them. It's like, wow. So what can we take from this message? Well, my question today for my own life is how are my foundations? How are your foundations? See, my log shed looked great when it was completed, even if I do say so myself. It was fine, green roof done, blah, blah, blah. But it's when me and the kids filled it with the logs and the full weight began to bear down on it, then it became clear the foundations were insufficient. The pressure of life stress tests the quality of our foundations, and this is exactly the same with our spiritual lives. I learned a few years ago, when the pressures of life come along, then I know I need to fix myself to the cornerstone. And what does that look like? From my own personal experience, I know that I need to get up early each day and spend time with God. And that means reading the Bible. I also read a Christian book, something to bring help, inspire me. I worship the Lord. I sometimes strum my guitar using the four chords that I know, or I listen to worship music. I know that I'm ready for the day. I know that if I hear from the Lord or write something down in the journal or something like that, then I know that my day's starting from the place of faith. I'm focusing on Jesus. I'm kind of standing on that cornerstone. I'm reclaiming that cornerstone, that foundational reality in my life. I notice if I don't do that, I find that my connection begins to wane with the Lord. And it's really important as disciples that we find what works for us. You'll have different ways that work for you, but the principle is finding something that works for you and helps you build those key spiritual disciplines in life. So if you're listening to this and this is part of your spiritual discipline, thank you. We honour you for listening. And I'd encourage you to think to next year, 2019, as our church launches the Grow Project. And you can sign up for that today online if you find it on the website. And this weekend, starting tomorrow morning, and then follow on next Wednesday night, which is actually a repeat of Saturday, we are going to be piloting this Grow Project, which is all about building great foundations so that we can grow with Jesus individually and as a church. Sign up today on our church website. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the cornerstone. Jesus, I pray that we lean on you today. And teach us, Lord, more and more what it means to grow in faith and trust in you. Amen. Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 to 46. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He pulled a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take in his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied, "and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him the share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you read in the scriptures, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvellous in our eyes.' Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people who reproduce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet.
We enter your gates with thanksgiving, and with thanksgiving we enter your gates. We pour out your praise in your presence. your praises out. Your glory shining all around. And as we pour your praises out, your glory shining all around. And as we pour your praises out, your glory shining all around. And as we pour your praises out, oh, your glory shining all around.